were in the area, they were doing third ward or something.
Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting to order. It's Al Crapit's special meeting for Maple Harbor Sewer. It is now 9:08, and pledge allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment? There is no public, so there will be no public comment, I guess. We'll move right on to the Maple Harbor Sewer discussion. Aaron Norden is here from Performance, and I'll also note, Shelley, that Dick Holtz is absent. And Bill Derman is also here with us. So Aaron, I guess, if you'd like, let us know what's going on.
All right, so you should have a little award recommendation packet with you here. And in the packet, we kind of provide a summary of what transpired here with the bidding. As you know, we put the project out to bid, came back in over the budget that was set up for the project. So we went back through it and looked. We've included as the last page the bid tabulation for the original project as it was bid. So you can see we got four bids back for that. And then when we went back through it, we looked at an alternate plan to serve the same properties within the special assessment district, but by doing directional drilling on Cairn Highway to eliminate the cost associated with the open cut there. We used the bid pricing submitted by all the contractors to then price this alternate scope, since the same, we had bid items for everything that would be required in this alternate plan. So the other tabulation you see attached to this that says revised is no adjustment to anybody's pricing, but adjustment to their quantities to do the alternate plan. And in either of these scenarios, it's Harbor Springs Excavating is the low bidder. In our alternate scope, where we don't do the open cut on Cairn Highway, their bid comes in at $417,003. So if you look at the impact of that to the properties in the special assessment district, that'll bring you to the second page. We've carried through just the numbers from Harbor Springs Excavating, the revised scope quantities. So you can see their bid at 417. If we back out the road items for Terrace, Oakwood, and Wabus, that's 87, which is significantly higher than the initial estimates for the road work. And part of this is in due to the logistics of working within the 30-foot right-of-ways and all this stuff makes it more expensive than a traditional road project where you can keep two directions and go on and all that. But at any rate, when you back the road out, the sewer project ends up at $329,900. You add in the engineering, township costs, bond costs, and contingency money for $21,000, and it puts the assessment project at $444,000. The published numbers were $451,000, so we're basically right there. So with that, we're recommending that we move forward with an award to Harbor Springs Excavating for their low bid price at $417,000. And we've discussed this revised scope with them and with all the bidders and confirmed with them that they would be willing to participate in the reduced scope project, holding their unit costs. So
Aaron, the other three bidders chose not to rebid or to change their scope?
The other three bidders were informed that we were looking at a reduced scope project, and they all are not pursuing any kind of revising their bids or something like this. You know, we're trying not to open it back up to some kind of
Sure.
Total rebidding process. So if we look at, you know, the way this is, nobody's altering their bid numbers here. We're just looking at a straight assessment of what you bid on the scope versus cutback.
Would you care to just mention where exactly the changes were?
Sure. The change is predominantly associated with a reduction in 8-inch PVC piping, which would be the gravity sewer along Karen Highway, and replacing, and that was at $51.61 per the low bidder, and replacing that with the HDPE 4-inch and 2-inch, which are at about $20 a foot.
Okay.
And then we remove a lot of the asphalt quantities, we remove all the shoulder gravel, and remove the leveling course that's the base in the highway. Those are the big ones.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for Aaron? Aaron?
So they went from 8-inch to 4-inch.
Yes.
And you're comfortable with that, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. So
what was the reasoning behind the 8-inch to begin with?
The reasoning behind the 8-inch to begin with was to have gravity sewer available at each end for a future expansion out. And so what we're doing now is, instead of, you know, being able to set this up for the future, you know, and absorb these costs here, we're just saying that we got to fall back, serve what we initially intended to serve, and any of these future extensions, they would have to pay to get in, you know.
They're going to have to end up getting back to the sewer 8-inch yeah. the whole way.
Right.
Or 4-inch, whatever that they're required to, but there's no extension there for them.
Exactly.
So those costs would just be pushed to another project.
Right. Gotcha. And if you were to go to the Milton direction, we are keeping a 4-inch out there, which we don't need 4-inch, but it would be available to them because they would need it. So we don't want to have to cut up a 2-inch to replace it with a 4. And actually the cost, the boring cost on the 4 is less than the 2, because in the original bid there's less quantity. So it worked to our advantage anyways.
It seems like a good resolution.
Mike, do you have any questions?
No, I'm happy with that.
You're comfortable with the road part?
Yes.
Okay. Shelley?
I'm good.
How do we stand, or how do you believe we stand time period wise?
I believe schedule is not affected. So what we're saying is we're basically going to recommend award. If we, assuming we move forward with an award today, what we would propose is that at your next regular meeting in January, we're trying to invite the contractor, but even if he couldn't make it, we'd have all the contract documents kind of submitted. Bill can look at them, have them here for signatures then, because they need to provide bonds, their insurance, you know, the paperwork that goes with their award. The award is kind of a contingency. It lets them know you intend to enter into a contract subject to them completing these items. So once they get their list of items completed, which I would assume by your January meeting would be a reasonable time frame.
Bill, do you have any questions?
No, I do not.
Well, just to recap, we've got scopes changed, and we're going to be able to stay within budget. The other three bidders didn't wish to change or address the scope. So we're going to be talking about Harbor Springs Excavating. So I guess at this point, I would ask for a motion to enter into an agreement with Harbor Springs Excavating for the Maple Harbor project.
I so move.
Okay.
Support.
Go ahead, Mike.
Support.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion? You know, the only thing I want to go back to is I really hope that they'll take interest in starting early and get work through this. Do they show interest in working with the the folks on doing the direct hookups as well, or?
Yes, they did indicate they're going to reach out to the homeowners and they're not making promises, but they are saying they are going to approach everybody.
Okay.
And try to do as many of these as they can, especially the ones that might want to be drilled. If some of these lake level homes are going to be pumping up anyways, what they would like to do is while their driller's out there, shoot those services in for them. Their thinking is there's not a whole lot of variation in that, in the work required there. They're going to try and offer a fixed cost per connection and then just advertise that to the homeowners, say for $1,200 or whatever, you get your service shot in for you. And then they can either pay extra to have them hook it in at the pump, or they could have their plumber or whoever hook it in at the pump, but the service would be there. That way, when they come through with the main, they just makes their job easier, even hooking them in as they go by. So it's kind of a win-win.
Okay. And then you were going to contact some of them about an easement for the road and what have you, construction?
Yes. Well, what we're going to try to do is on Terrace, on the lakeside, reach out to those folks and see if we can get a temporary grading easement.
And Bert is good with everything so far, and Heidi as well?
I've not gotten anything back from Heidi, but Bert, of course, likes this plan better where we're not cutting up his highway, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I'll call the question. We'll have a roll call bid or vote, please.
Roll call. Eisenhart.
Yes.
Schimansky.
Yes.
Amos.
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. And Holtz is absent.
Okay, motion carries. Anything else you'd like to add, Aaron?
Just that next month during the regular meeting, we'll bring a little bit of a presentation with drawings and show what this, you know, the revised scope looks like. So you can have a plan set here for people to look at and all that kind of thing.
That sounds good. Yes, it'd be nice to meet the contractor as well.
We will definitely try to get him here.
Okay. Well, is there any other discussion?
I would just like to say I think you guys handled this perfectly. You had a clear low bidder and pushed to work with that person. So many times this gets, you know, it's a funny, you know, public open, you know, it's a real funny thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't always go that route, but to me that's the best way to do it. And I thought you guys handled it really well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the extra work on this. And hopefully now we just get weather so they can get started. But
yeah.
I have a question. So this is just process. So we've got a contract amount, signed contracts in January. When do we pull our bond attorney into it? When does Miller Canfield come in?
I'm going to be sending them as soon as I get the contracts and so forth. They're going to get everything down there. So
okay.
They have it. They've been involved all along. You've seen the correspondence back from him and so forth. So he has every publication, every public hearing minutes, everything we've done, he has in his file already.
Okay.
So this will start after the first of the year, probably, right?
Yeah, I may send him an email to say that they'll be signing the contract, just to get it on the calendar for him again.
Okay.
And the question for Mike, I'm sure, is you can probably now go and get your bank account set up.
Well, that was my next question. When do I have to start setting up? Because I'm sure he's not going to give me a check for $400.
No, no.
And have we been keeping track of what expenses we've had?
Yes, we have.
So we can set up. Is there anything we need to know about that bill more than we do?
I don't think so, but I'll ask bond counsel to just sort of give us an outline of how we're going to proceed.
Mike, have we fronted any money yet?
Yes.
We have?
Yes.
Do you mind, you know offhand?
I'm not offhand, I don't.
Okay, but there has been some money spent,
yes.
Just for the record, okay.
It was legal and engineering,
yeah.
Both, and I've been paying them, but marking them Maple Harbor, so I'll know where to go back. And
okay.
Recoup
and
those costs.
Come out of our township cost. Is that what that township cost is for in there?
And
well,
contingency, depending, but you wouldn't take it out right away, but it could come out of you, all of them.
Right. Well, I wouldn't
there
want
is
to
an
touch
item.
Contingency until.
That line item for engineering is in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So between those two would be, I assume, most of what you've spent.
And are we, I mean, I would like to meet Pat McGraw. I'd like to have him here instead of just do everything by...
He's usually here. He's been here before to talk to us. The last time that I recall him was the village and their bond and their reviewing the alternatives to their sewer.
All right.
He was here less than a year, well, let's call it a year ago.
Okay.
But yeah, okay.
And we have firmed up, or I mean, we're positive on the Alden Bank participation and all that.
Tom Lane confirmed, you know, that he would be in the ballpark, and we're lower than where we were. I mean, he said that number's okay.
Okay.
So we've got more contracts to sign, is what I'm saying. We need to sign with Miller Canfield. I mean, all I saw was an email saying, yeah, we could do that. And then we'd need to sign something with Lane, or I'm sorry, with Alden.
It is more than an email we can do that. He quoted your price and everything else, Shelley, because Varnum said they couldn't do it for that price. I mean, I don't have that information right here.
That was not a contract, though.
No, it wasn't a contract.
Right.
But I mean, it's more than just an email, yeah, we can do that.
But do we need to sign a contract?
I don't know what their policy is on bonding. Because they're bond counsel per se. I don't know if they take a percentage of the bond or how they come up with their fee, okay?
Yeah.
They
I'm pretty sure
there.
There is.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that maybe in January we should be prepared for, not just with the contractor, but with all the other facets of this thing. And if he doesn't have a contract, I think I would ask, I know it's...
Well,
I think I would ask, yeah, for something.
They'll have something.
That will have, yeah. I mean, this.
Well, just so
first
we
one,
can
but.
Have something to put in our files. Who else is there?
There's
the bank, the bonding.
Right. Well. We'll have engineering documents too, won't we, to sign?
You will have a contract document package. With the contractor.
All right.
All of them.
But I was thinking, I know that when we signed with you guys for this, we said, nope, we don't need a contract until there's a project, and we'll have a cost for that too. So we don't really even have a contract with you guys. I don't know why I'm so bent on contracts, but it just seems like that's the way it goes. I've got all the documentation in case something happens, and then I can go back and say, nothing's going to happen, but...
Yeah, I mean, we could provide something for you if you want.
I mean, you've got a cost here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally you would stipulate what you're doing for that cost, which
right.
is so much, you know, you're going to have Brad out there all the time. You know, you're working with a contractor, you're doing, you know, all of that stuff should be, if you don't have that, let me know. But if you do, I'd really like to have that breakdown.
Yeah, I mean... We can do it however you guys are comfortable with. We can either use like the engineer joint council document package if you want like the full blown, you know, a 178 page contract type thing.
I was going to say, maybe I'm so used to working with
they use
rural
like
development.
AIA contract.
AIA,
that's
AIA,
the wrong
AIA.
One, but I mean, it's just.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't need all that, but I guess something. And I'd rather not have joint personally. I'd rather, because we're hoping to deal with you.
Can it be just like a proposal?
Yeah, we could do.
And that's, you accept a proposal. It can be a one or two page.
It'll have a rate sheet, it'll have a scope, and we could do it.
And you'll have the accounting, what you're doing anyways in the billing.
Right.
Each, whenever.
Right.
So it's kind of like a not to exceed.
Right, like our contract with you now is some, I think it's like a 10% reduction from our regular rate schedule. You just incorporate that, define the scope, and make it specific to this project or something, if you want to kind of bundle it all together for you.
Are you drafting the contract for us, for the contractor? How?
Yes, that's already been reviewed by Bill and...
Is there liquidated damages included in that at all? Or
yes.
There are, okay.
Yep. Yeah, there's two milestone dates in there. One is being done with the underground by May 18th, and then the other one is paving complete restoration by... I think it's July 1st. So after either one of those, if they haven't hit it, they get damages.
Yeah, we could work with them. At least there's something
that
there.
I've been advised by others, okay? Meaning you can't you explain it briefly.
Yeah, so we put damages, we put damage clauses into contracts all the time, right? If somebody really wanted to take you to task, there's a, the theory is that you can't have damages if there's not incentive for completing early. So
we have none of those.
They always leave those out, right?
Yes.
Right. So you've noticed
as a contractor, you know this, huh? So, but I mean, at the end of the day, the damages are like a motivational tool. You know, our goal is not to try and recover $500 a day from a contractor. Our goal is to get the project done on time. And so, you know, this, at the end, some of these things help you in negotiations. They help you in getting things pushed. But, yeah, like Bill's saying is, if you really had a big problem and you ended up in a legal disagreement over this stuff, you might not be able to apply it. But we still leave it in there.
Yeah, it adds a little bit of urgency to things.
Exactly, yeah, a little fear factor there, maybe.
One other point of discussion. I don't know if we've really all decided what we're going to do, but the time for the hookup from the time of start, but to be completed to the homeowner, we've been kind of all over the board. Now, Matt Zimmerman recommended go with a 30-day time of hookup, you know, not to exceed. I guess we should ask the board at this point, what's the feeling? Because if we complete July 1, then that would, I'm assuming we'd anticipate they'd be all hooked up by August 1. Is that how that works, or?
What we were hoping is somewhere between May 18th and the end of June, they're hooked up. So okay, that when we come through and pave and do our final restoration,
exactly,
nobody's digging back in there.
So where would we use the, if we're using the 30 days, which I want to hear from the board that that's okay, but where would we start that point from, groundbreaking or some point during this process?
I would say it's from the May 18th, from substantial completion of the underground work.
Okay.
Because you have to have the lift station has to be up, operational, and running before, you know, you can start using it.
Okay. So I'm going to ask the board, not that we need, I don't think we need a motion, but what's the board's flavor on that? Because kind of my personal goal was we could complete all work and do one restoration and be clean. And we talked, Shelley and I talked originally about maybe 3 to 6 months. And like Matt Zimmerman said, he said, letting it linger is no benefit because it just makes for more. He said, customarily, they recommend 30 days so that during the project, it's all completed. So I guess I should hear from the board what everybody's wishes are. So, I mean, what the timeline Aaron laid out is kind of what I would like to try to achieve.
I would like to go with the 30 days because once they fix that road, I don't want to go back in there and start digging that stuff up again.
Normally, the riser from the sewer main will go to the front property line, so people should not have to touch the road.
Okay.
And my only thought on this goes back to our sewer ordinance that we are in the process of updating, and where a benefit charge comes in, because it's fine to say you have 30 days to hook, but if we say you have 30 days to hook, and oh, by the way, it's gonna cost you $8,000 in the benefit charge up front, that's not gonna not only go over well, that's gonna be impossible for some people. So we're still juggling with our documents, our ordinances, and our things. So, and normally that happens with a sewer permit, and we are gonna have sewer permits for everybody in sewer files, and you know, we're gonna know what we have here and not play past games. So when someone hooks, normally you have a hookup fee and a benefit charge. We've gotta decide on that, and I'm not willing to say you have 30 days to hook and you owe us this amount of money.
But Shelley, what's the difference between 30 and 60?
It's not normally 60. Normally it's 18 months to hook after a sewer is totally completed and published that it's ready to be connected to. That has been the past. I'm not sure where Matt's coming from on some of that. And it makes total sense if that's all we were doing is putting the sewer in and making the connections and getting the road done, and now everybody's just in our records, and we're going to start charging them uses once they're hooked. I would love that, if that's what we're going to do. But if we're going to do it the other way, we need to, I think we need to look at some of this other stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, we are running leads out to the property line. So nobody should have any reason to cut the road, per se. But opening a hole up at the right-of-way will bleed out into the right-of-way.
Plus the construction on the new road will.
Right.
Be good. I agree with that, but still.
Right. I mean, the normal situation is people already have sewer, you replace sewer, and you hook up existing users, and it's a non-issue, you know?
Right.
This is a little different, where you're bringing people in, they have a assessment that they're going to pay. Are you going to charge them a benefit fee? Are you going to, you know?
Right.
You do have these extra questions.
Because this special assessment's going on their 18 tax bill, correct?
Winter,
yeah. Winter of 18.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So whether they're hooked up or not, they're still going to be assessed.
Yep, totally separate set of finances from if we charge a hookup fee. So I guess all I'm saying is right now I don't want to answer that question, because I think we need to discuss with Matt more about our ordinance and what we're gonna require.
I would agree, and we should. I just wanted the board to be aware of.
I'm a little confused. So we're going to have the special assessment. That's going to start hitting their tax bill. What is this fee you're talking about? I just don't understand it, I guess.
Okay, so a benefit charge.
Benefit charge, yeah.
Yeah. Once the sewer's in, say even for Birch Lake sewer's in, if there's a new customer that comes to Birch Lake to hook up, they have to pay their excavator to connect to the system. And then there was an $8,000 benefit fee that was charged at the time of the permit. Now, that's kind of high, but what that paid for was the tank, the pump, and the DPW labor to do all that, because we were under the assumption at that time that that's what it took. But a benefit charge just comes into the system and ends up paying for existing infrastructure along the way. I mean, it's there as a capital expense, and you're raising money in case there's something wrong with the pump station, or something wrong with the pump station at the Sportsman's Club, or something like that. It's just like an initiation or a capital cost that sometimes the municipality sets up so that, you know, they can.
But didn't we have maintenance figured into the special assessment? Didn't we? Into our sewer hookup, into our sewer bills.
We do have, replacement reserve and maintenance.
So this is on top of that.
It's normally a one-time capital cost.
Yes.
We don't have to do that. It's been done. That's why I'm saying in our ordinance, it says that we have a benefit charge. But we're redoing that now for this total sewer thing, so.
And that charge could change from what we have been charging.
Yeah, it should definitely change.
Yeah.
If we, you know, and for this project, I've been pushing to not do that because, you know, we've got them with the special assessment and we're going to have replacement reserve right in their thing. So all of that money is going into the system. Right now, we don't have that yet. So that's what I'm saying. If we're going to have it, we got to discuss it.
Yeah, we'll have a much fuller room at that, which is fine, you know.
The one point, you know, I don't think we need to have it at 8,000, but I do think it's good to have a charge simply for the startup, because in the short run, there's nothing there other than the funds you collect. But also with that argument comes, you're gonna get some screaming from Birch Lake, obviously, once we cut that, because it's gonna affect them as well. I would assume we'd have to change their benefit charge. Now that we don't have to buy the equipment in our eyes or any of the, all they gotta do is hook to us, I don't think I can see where there'd be a big issue, but there's still some expenses involved with hooking. And again, we don't have it very good, well, our funds are very challenged right now. And what we need to really think about is, we're being told maybe we have a 20-year life cycle on what's left on that main pump pipe. You gotta weigh that into it too, because I'd like to be able to build up at least half of the reserve, so that we're not bonding all the time. And maybe like what Aaron or Brad, one of you guys said, is maybe we wouldn't have to replace all the pipe at one time, I do half of it. So, you know, we could kind of work from our own funding. So these are some of the things that, you know, we should all think about how we feel about that, because your funding right now, when we get done with Aaron this year, you're gonna be just about tapped out again, aren't you, Mike?
I won't be completely tapped out, I'll still have some funds in there.
But nothing for a major, if we had a major.
Depending how much.
Because if we had a situation, it'd be my understanding, our only option is, we can't go borrow money against this. We'd have to go and rebond something quickly to fix it. And this is where I think we gotta really be careful, because let's just say we had a major blowout, it was 20, 30, 40, whatever the number is. We won't have service. So I think it's, well, what's the new rulings? We're supposed to be funded, is it 25% or 30? There's something in the state right now where we've got to have a certain amount of reserve funding. Because we still are out of order on a reserve funding, in my opinion, and we don't want to have to adjust this rate this year, because I think politically it wouldn't be a smart move to adjust it, so we're not going to really build a lot of funding, because we're going to take out money to do the repairs we have to do. Well, you see what I'm saying? We have no reserve. We're really running out of, you know, legally, or I mean, I don't know if it's legal, but we need to have a reserve. That's why I'm concerned about that. So, I mean, what's usually customary, Aaron, on these projects?
Tap fees in municipalities, they do range, but I'd put the range somewhere around like $1,500 to $3,000 is kind of a typical range, I would say.
And what does a system like this usually have in reserve?
Well, kind of to your point about things coming through the legislature and kind of changing the way business goes. So probably 4 years ago, the state came up with funding for these, they call them SAW grants, and kind of the big push became asset management out of the state, right? So municipalities came through, they kind of do this asset inventory, life cycle analysis, costing, and basically what's happening pretty much uniform everywhere is everybody's realizing, oh geez, we don't have enough money to manage our system long term. So everybody's kind of in this boat, and different communities have different abilities to raise funds. You know, for the township, you know, there's no plant here, you're basically just collection system. So you have a less risk than somebody that's running a plant that every day they're discharging to Lake Michigan, and when they exceed, they're gonna get a violation notice from the state and enforcement comes down, right? We don't really have that same.
We kinda do.
I mean, you do.
Anything that happens to them will happen to us.
Okay. Kind of a pass-through type thing, right? But the rate structure and the billing right now, that end of it all comes from the village, correct? In terms of what happens in the discharge.
Yes.
Right, so.
They're totally in charge of the plant.
Right, so I guess in my view, and correct me if I'm wrong or you have a different feel on it, I mean, your reserves are basically to operate, maintain, and replace, I guess you could say, your collection system.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of your own goal setting in terms of how you get to where you need to be, but I guess in my mind, it's it's a balance between what can the community afford, you know, and getting to where you want to be. You know, and right now you're down here, and it's going to be a long road to get to where you have half your replacement cost sitting in an account. It's a question for you guys, how long you're comfortable taking to get there. And then you kind of work backwards to see what the pricing has to be to get you there.
When we talked through this process, it wasn't, didn't legislature come through and say we had to have a 20-year plan to replace or something?
Yeah, capital improvement plan, 20-year, right.
That's where I'm coming from on this, is that, you know.
Yeah, we might have a 20-year plan, but in 13 years, we may have a big problem.
Yeah. Say a plan's a plan.
Yeah.
Right.
But we've got that, I think we've got the 20-year covered.
No, not presently, would be my guess.
Right, your rates today do not get you there.
No.
Right.
Well, what we did do with our rates and our replacement reserve amount, that was based on all of the infrastructure and the life of the infrastructure. So like Aaron said, you've got, you know, your pump station is worth $60,000 and it's got a 40-year lifespan, and you divide that. You know, when you go down the line, so you've got your whole thing like that, and then your replacement reserve amount, and then you break it down among your sewer users, and then you got your replacement reserve amount, so that if we're collecting that bit by bit during the month, that by the time that dies, we should have enough to take care of everything on our list.
Right.
What we don't have is any money in an account right now that if something should not live up to their lifespan, you know, and die right now, we don't have a way to take care of that.
Sure.
Didn't you give us a number for the increase that you thought we needed? If I'm recalling correctly, it was like, what, $45 way back in the day?
I don't have it with me, but we did do kind of a proposal of bumping up over the next 5 years kind of scenario.
But actually, what I think was almost doubling our bill, our sewer bill, to get into compliance to what we think we need for the 20-year replacement. So I just want to let the board know we're a long ways from having that position.
Yeah, 20 years from now, we're okay.
Not presently, we wouldn't be. We're going to have to make a bill increase no matter what. But that being said, when we look at this tap fee, we got to take into consideration the replacement. Now, obviously, the system we're putting in should last longer than 20 years, but the rest of the system maybe only has 20 years. So I'm just encouraging the board to think about, because we've got to come up with the funding and have it in place. I hate to raise the rates so drastically as what I saw so quickly. So I think I'm trying to blend what people can afford on a tap plus what we can get out, and then hope we don't have any troubles for the next 20 years. Yeah. But we still got maintenance. I mean, it's like right now, we're gonna spend, what did we allocate, I forgot?
About 11 or 12, I think.
Yeah. Right.
Virtually.
Yeah. We probably got that much more to spend as soon as we can when we collect the money on a couple more things you've mentioned. So we're gonna be spending it out, that's what I'm getting at, just to maintain what we haven't done. So we need to really, you guys have all gotta think about, and Shelley, all of us, how we're going to do that, because that's gonna be part of this whole process. That's why I'm bringing it up. Not, I don't want a decision, but just think through.
Thinking about it.
And I don't know how you would incorporate some of this too, but kind of to me, my gut feel on it is one of the ideas of a tap fee or whatever is the guy that comes 10 years from now reimbursing the municipality for what they've already put in. These people today are paying through their assessment to build this for everybody. And I don't know how you go about it, but perhaps you waive it for these people that are in it, and anybody that hooks into this in the future would pay some $3,000 or $15,000 or whatever you want it to be.
See, that was discussed too, now that you bring it up, is to waive it for these folks that are hooking. But for anyone coming on, we leave it at the $8,000 after a certain period of time. I forgot what it was, a year, 18 months, something to that effect. Which, you know, that's the board's discretion. But somehow we've got to get some sight on that, because through this process, we've got to make a decision on that.
I would really like to sit with maybe Pat or Matt and Aaron and discuss those options, because, you know, we could go on and on here, and I think all we're doing is scaring people.
Oh, no, no.
If they listen to this.
No, it's just that I, for everyone here to think about.
Right.
I have a feeling for what they feel about it.
Right.
Because that's probably one of our larger decisions to make going forward.
How many hookups are we talking about again?
42.
Because there is an argument to what Aaron's saying. So if you're saying that this way may have a certain, so to leave the tap fee where it is, waive it for the ones that are hooking right now within this time period, and then in a year or whatever the time period is, then whoever hooks up the Johnny Come Latelys pays the fee, which in my opinion does have merit, because the ones that don't get in up front should pay their proportionate share, but then you'll get an argument that goes the other way on that as well.
Right, that's what I mean. We can go back and forth, because these people are going to pay $10,500, and an $8,000 benefit charge is not going to take care of that. Although, I don't think we have to so much worry about that, because we're not talking about any empty lots or any build-out for this area. I mean, this is pretty self-contained, but in other areas, you know, you want people to pay like a front footage cost that would help pay for that construction and then also pay a tap fee. I don't think we're there, and that's why I said it when I was retyping the ordinance. I really want to discuss how we're going to put this in there, because
I agree.
It's going to be important.
Okay. Is there anything else? Any other questions? Well, then I'll call the meeting to adjourn. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
Thanks for not firing me right off the bat when we read the bids.
Well, I will
Was that an option?
I will tell you, I've been worried about it ever since we started this, because that number